Corinthians chapter 1, if you will. A lot of people just don't want to do it. The gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the gospel is the most important work in the world. It is. It's the most important work in the world. For years now, I've been trying to gather a bunch of people and teach and get them grounded, and I think we're about where we ought to be. Amen? Now, for years, we had a turnover. We had a turnover. People come, people go, people come, people go. It's kind of like old Dobie, Maynard G. Krebs. Do y'all remember Maynard G. Krebs on Dobie Gillis? You got to be old to remember Dobie Gillis now. Old black and white weekly sitcom type thing. And he had a friend. Dobie had a friend named Maynard G. Krebs. And Maynard went to college, but he never went to class. And he was a beatnik. He had one of them little beatnik things, you know, and he wore old ragged clothes like them beatniks. He'd do that stuff, you know. And somebody'd be standing around him, and they'd say something about work. He'd go, "Work! Work! Work!" He'd go into a spell. Y'all remember that, Billy? I used to laugh at him, so I loved that show. I really did. And there's a lot of church members like that. You say the work of the gospel, they say, "Work! I ain't coming to that service." Amen. That's the sermon I don't want to hear. Work, four-letter word, four-letter word. But you know, the gospel is a work. It's a work. To share the good news of Jesus Christ is it's like rolling rocks up hills. It's not an easy thing. And if anybody ever tells you that it's easy to preach, teach, share the gospel of Jesus Christ, they don't know anything about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's an offense to the world. The cross is offensive to the world. It's a reproach to the world. And because the cross represents the world and the way it is, filthy and vile and wicked. And they know that's what nailed Jesus to the cross. So as a church, as we grow and as people get saved and they get grounded, we learn that the gospel is a work. It's a work. And a lot of young men will come to me and over the years and say they want to be preachers. A lot of old men too. They'll say they want to be preachers. But when they find out it's work, they quit. It's kind of like that old fellow asked this preacher one time, said, "How did you know you were supposed to be a preacher?" He said, "Well, I woke up one morning and I had a strong desire to eat chicken and I didn't want to work no more." Surprise, yeah. That's not a preacher, amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, look at verse 5. We'll read through chapter 2, verse 2. "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." He said, now we came, we brought the gospel, but it came in power, in the Holy Ghost, and assurance, and we brought it. "And ye became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much," underline that word, "affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." In other words, they had a testimony of the gospel. Preaching. "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Now there it is. Tribulation, contention, work. Look, the gospel has never been easy to share. Never. The hardest thing you'll ever talk to anybody about on planet Earth will be the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's strange how you can be on the elevator and don't even know somebody and start talking to them about anything in the world except the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, it's in you and you want to let it out, but it takes all the courage you have just to get it out, to start. Now, once you get started, it'll go. But it's work to get the gospel out, and then it's work to get somebody to listen once you start getting the gospel out. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, you don't have to turn there, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now, planting is work, and watering is work. And then God will make it grow. But we've got to work to make that happen. God's not going to some people think, well, y'all can rent a building, put a church name on it, and get a pulpit, and open the door, and they're going to come. Well, there's churches all over town that's figured out now, too late, that doesn't work. They've got these gigantic buildings. They've spent millions of dollars. They ain't spent, they're in debt for millions of dollars. And they got a little handful of people in there because somebody told them, if you'll build a beautiful building and put up a nice sign and run an ad in the paper, they'll come. And they don't. Amen. Just like any business in town, just because you rent a space and hang a shingle or a sign and say that you're there, that doesn't mean people's going to come and get what you got. Somebody's got to tell them what you got. And it's the same way with the gospel. Now, we can come in here and we can have meetings and we can have a good time. People can be blessed. God can show up. But unless somebody gets to work and spreads the word, it'll stop right where it's at. It'll stop right where it's at. In Acts 1:8, he said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then he said, you'll go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, we share the gospel in our home with our children and our family, right? Or at least you ought to. That'd be the easiest place to do it. We share the gospel at home. Say amen right there. Amen. If you don't, you ain't right with God. You might need to get saved if you can't even witness to your own family, especially your children. And then we share the gospel where we shop. We share the gospel where we work. We share the gospel where we vacation. We share the gospel where we live. Everywhere we go, we'll be working at sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sooner or later, every conversation ought to end up with that. Yep. Every conversation. Where you work. No, I have a form when I go to visit people for the first time, and some of you know it, some of you don't. But I call, and Johnny King taught me this form. It's the F-O-R-M. The F stands for, when you go see somebody, talk to them about their family. Everybody likes to talk about their family. They like to brag on their grandkids or fuss about their youngins or their wife or their husband or something, but everybody wants to talk about their family. So I'll let them talk about their family a little while, you know. And then the O in form is occupation. Everybody wants to talk about their job or lack of one, or used to have one, now I'm retired, but everybody wants to gripe and complain or brag on their job. So I sit there and listen to it, you know, because I got the best job in the world. And R stands for religion. I say, well, where'd you grow up at? And they'll say so and so. I say, was that where you got saved at? Is that where you go to church at? What church did you go to while you was growing up down there? And they'll usually give me some name or something, you know. And then I give them the message. I say, well, do you know for sure if you died right now, you go to heaven? It's easy to talk to people. You just got to open your mouth and start talking. And by the way, it'll usually lead it to there anyway. By the time you get to the religion part, F-O-R, by By the time you start talking about religion, they're going to tell you. Some of them say, well, my mom made me go to church when I was little, and I hate church, and I don't go to church. And I turn around and say, well, my mama didn't, and I love church, and I wish my mama had took me to church when I was little. And then they'll calm down, you know, things like that. But look, everywhere we go, it's work to talk about the gospel. Now, they'll talk to you about race cars. That's not work. They'll talk to you about, you ladies, about Max Factor and Avon, and I don't even know all those names. That's not hard work. Amen? Amen. And this fellow asked me one time what I thought about his women wearing makeup. I said, well, I got two thoughts on that. Some of them need it and some of them don't. But the point being, you can talk about anything. You can talk about airplanes. We can talk about the president. They'll either cuss him or praise him and talk about anything he wants to. But in order to get down to the end, everywhere we go, we ought to work at sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, I can't do that. You can tell them how you got saved. You say, where'd you go to church? They'll say, well, I went to the Glorious Fire Baptized Church of the Union Assembly. You know, they can't put it on the van. They have to put initials. And or they'll say, well, I went to First Baptist, you know, or something. And then they'll say, well, where you go to church? You say, well, and then there it is. You open the door. But everywhere we go, we'll share it. Now, we share the gospel by giving, and it goes all the way around the world. We support people. We do the Graham thing, you know, with the shoe boxes, and we do Haiti, and occasionally we'll do some other mission, you know. And we do that, don't we? Amen? And by the way, this little old church does good on giving. This little church does good on giving. And we share the gospel, and then later on, somebody else comes by, and they water that same seed that you just put in there. You're not going to win everybody to the Lord you talk to. You ain't even going to have time. Sometimes down at the store or the drug store or down over at the... Do y'all still go to beauty parlors, you know? The beauty parlor, the barbershop... You share the gospel, you put a little seed down. Next week, the Lord sends somebody else to pour some water on it. And then a month later, He'll send somebody else to reap what you sowed and somebody else watered. Somebody else will come along and lead them to Christ. I've had people get saved in my presence that I knew I had absolutely nothing to do with. I just walked in the room. Amen. And they were ready. that one old boy said, I've been wanting to know how to be saved. I had a boy tell me that. I said, well, you come to the right place. Amen. And I walked up on this front porch one day, and I was going door to door, and this old lady was sitting there in a rocking chair reading her Bible, and I introduced myself, and I said, where do you go to church? She said, I go to the First Church of the Nazarene. I said, well, that's wonderful. And she talked about the preacher, the pastor, you know, and the people there. I said, well, that's wonderful. I said, I see you reading your Bible. She said, yeah, I read it every day. I said, well, that's wonderful. I said, let me ask you something. She said, go ahead. I said, do you know for sure if you died, you go to heaven? She said, I wish I did. I said, well, let me take your Bible and show you how to know for sure if you... Now, she was ready before I got there. All I did was pull it up. I reaped it. Somebody else had sown it and somebody else had watered it. And God gave the increase that day when I walked up there. Amen? And boy, that's happened to me over and over. And years ago when I was a young preacher, and we had that little church in the liquor store. and I hate having to explain that every time I say it. But we rented that old liquor store. And going on the Mill Hill, knocking on doors. And there wasn't nobody home on this whole street. Nobody came to the door. But I heard this up the street, there was somebody hollering and cussing and fussing. And I thought, man, I got to go up there. But I can't quit. I can't go around them, you know. So I, about 1 yard away, that far from here to that front door right there. And I said, hey, y'all, I'm Pastor Ron Roddy. And they went, whoa. Come on in, Pastor. Come on up here. And it, two black folks went up there and they said, the man told the little girl, he said, go in the house and get the pastor a glass of tea. Black folks respect pastors most of the time. And come on in the house, Pastor. So I went in there and sat down. And she sat over here, and he sat over there, and I had a guy with me, and her husband was drunk, and that's why they was fussing. And so we're talking back and forth, you know, a little bit, and finally I popped the question. She had a big old family Bible there on the coffee table. Y'all have coffee tables? We don't either. Everybody used to have a coffee table. Y'all remember that? We drank a lot of coffee, and you had to keep your ashtrays there. We don't have them. Amen. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that, Billy? Everybody had an ashtray on the coffee. And they had the coffee table and the Bible and the ashtrays and everything. So I said, let me ask you something. Do you know for sure if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? She said, no, Pastor, I don't, but I'd sure like to know. And then her husband said something stupid like, you know, you got to quit this, you got to quit that. And I told that fellow with him, I said, talk to him, keep him busy. She wants to talk to me. So he talked to, argued with him, really. And I took her I said, let me take your family Bible. I'll show you how in your family Bible. And I took her family Bible, and I just took her down the Roman road, read her a few passages. And I said, now, do you believe that? Will you admit you're a sinner? Oh, yeah, I'm a sinner. Oh, yeah, I'll go straight to hell. I said, would you believe it enough to ask the Lord to forgive you? You're halfway there if you're admitting it. She said, I don't know how. I said, if I tell you what to pray, will you do it? She said, yeah. I said, well, read this verse right here, Romans 10:13. For whosoever is called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, it's no secret. Let's just call on him. So I led her through a little prayer. She prayed, and when she got through, and we said amen, she's so happy. And she had a 22-year-old daughter sitting there beside her. She said, no, she called in there. And she brought her in there and sat beside her. She said, show her. So I took her daughter down the Rome Road, and her daughter got saved. And she said, go in there and get my grandbabies. And she brought a bunch of little old kids in there and made them sit down at my feet. And I read them the gospel. They didn't get saved because they didn't try real hard, because a lot of them were so little, you know. But the old man didn't get saved. He was still arguing about eternal security and stuff. I said, you know what you need to do now? She said, what? I said, the Bible says believe and be baptized. I said, do you go to church? She said, yeah, I go to church. I said, well, this Sunday, either come to my church and walk the aisle so I can tell everybody what you did. Because it says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I said, you walk the aisle and we'll baptize you. She said, well, Pastor, I'm sorry, but I'm going to go to my daughter's church. I said, your daughter goes to church? She said, yes, she's the pastor. I said, okay, go to your daughter's church and walk the aisle. I never would tell her not to go to her daughter. I said, go to your daughter's church and tell her what you did and tell her you want to get baptized. She said, I'll do it, Pastor. It's work. But a lot of times, what you're doing, you ever pick blackberries? Now, I'm just talking tonight. You ever pick blackberries? Raise your hand if you ever pick blackberries. The rest of you need to get saved. You ever pick plums? You pick plums? Raise your hand and pick plums. You ever pick them green? Don't get them green. Don't get them. Have you ever went to a blackberry or a plum and you went to pick it, and as soon as your finger touched that vine, it fell off in your hand? That's the best kind. I mean, they're super ripe and juicy. Well, you know, there's a lot of sinners out there. If you just do a little work and touch them, they'll fall right off in your hand. Because somebody's already planted the seed and somebody else has already watered it. And God just wants us to go by and pick it up. Amen? Amen. It's not that hard to lead somebody to Christ, but it is work, and we've got to do something about it. Now, there's several things I want you to look at just real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. I got two verses I want to read you, and we'll go home. 1 Corinthians 1:18. Look at it with me. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, 1 Thessalonians 1:5 says, for our gospel came not unto you in a word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and much assurance, he said in our passage we just read a while ago. Now you listen to me. If we're going to work at spreading the gospel, reaching people with Christ, we've got to have the power to do that. Now, don't get scared. It's not in you. Now, I can teach you forms. I can take you out and show you how to do it. But the power is in the gospel. the gospel is what either offends or draws. It's the gospel. It's not you. It's not your presentation. There's some people barely can read and write, win people to Christ all the time. It's in the old story of Jesus and His love. That's where the power is. The problem with our country today is that people that claim to be Christian are not sharing the most life-changing, powerful thing they've ever experienced themselves. The president can't fix this country. The Republicans can't fix this country. The Democrats don't want to. And the communists and the socialists certainly don't want to. But I'm going to tell you, the only thing that can fix our country is get people to Jesus Christ by the power of the gospel. The same power that the death, burial, and resurrection, that power, the power that raised Him from the dead, is in those words that we give to them in the gospel, and that will not only save them from hell, but like you and I, it will change their life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And I'm tired of these unchanged people that claim to be Christian. And they have no power. They have no power in their life. They have no power at all. Nothing. They're powerless professors of faith. You can say amen. They're not here. They're not in here. But don't you get tired of that? They'll get on TV and talk about Jesus and it's powerless. It does nothing. They'll preach in pulpits and it's powerless. It does nothing. They'll go out in the public and talk about being church members, talk about being Christians, but it's powerless. It changes nobody else's life. It's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ that produces a product. We're talking about working now. You got to have power to produce a product. If the power's off, you ain't going to produce nothing. You get the power turned on by you receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then you've got to recognize that it is powerful. I'm going to tell y'all something I did one time. I didn't recognize something. We live right over here. I didn't know anything. Everything I knew, I learned the hard way because we didn't have money to pay people to fix things, so we'd have to figure it out. Any of y'all ever get that way? People ask me, how do you know how to do that? I said, you don't know how many times I had to do that not knowing what I was doing. But our oven, the top burner, had burned out. And I was replacing it. And of course, my wife told me to turn off the power. Ah! You don't have to do that. We don't do it that way. Like, I opened that oven, got my little screwdriver, took those two screws out at the back. You know that it's like a metal ring type thing. And when I got it and pulled it down, the wires wasn't off of it. It was just out of the holding bracket. And I pulled it down and that wire hit the side of that stove. Boom! It knocked me. Well, it couldn't knock me far because the kitchen wasn't but that the floor wasn't but that wide between the stove and the refrigerator. And I landed up against the refrigerator. My wife said, I told you to turn the power on. She didn't say, are you all right? Are you hurting? Do I need to get an ambulance?
I'm glad now we have to next time.
She said, I told you to turn the power off. But see, that's the problem with our churches, our Christians. They have a work to do. They have the product. They're trying to give it out, but they don't have the power of God. So nothing happens. Empty professions. But if we do it by being filled with the gospel ourselves, and then we go out and we try to give it to others, Ephesians 2:10 says, for we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, he says in Titus 2:14 that we're peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, we need to realize what we have. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ, the most powerful thing on planet Earth. Believe it or not, The drug companies are making killings trying to help people straighten out their mind and their heart and their spirit. You go to the doctor now, let me give you some antidepressants. Let me give you some boosters. Let me give you some downers. Let me give you some sleeping. Let me give you some waking. Let me give you this. Let me give you that. My mom was taking 13 medications when we put her in the nursing home. Now she takes 3. Come on. And these medical companies, medicine companies are making a killing. And do you know what most people could use? A good old dose of the gospel.
You're right.
I mean, they've got so many regrets. They've got so much guilt. They've got such a bad conscience about their past lives and their current life. And they think it's because there's something physically or mentally wrong with them when it's a spiritual problem. And what they need is a good old shot of the Holy Ghost and get saved. Amen? And the power of the gospel would change. Hey, he'd give them a new mind and a new spirit and a new heart and a new tongue and a new life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. We've got the product. And it's got the power. But you know, you can have a some kind of store. And by the way, the Shepherd's Fold Christian bookstore is closing down. They're, yes, for sale. It's the only Christian bookstore in town. It wasn't that great, but it's the only one in town. Now, somebody else might say, well, I'm going to open a Christian bookstore and go buy the best Bibles, the best commentaries, the best books, the best CDs, the best everything, and put it on those shelves. But if nobody knows it's there and you don't tell anybody it's there, it's not going to help them. And the church is the same way. We've got work to do, folks. Now, I've petted and primed and pumped and pleaded and trained and taught a good bunch of people now for about 5 years. We've been just building it up. Therefore, the first 5 years, they come and go. I don't know what they're looking for, Brother Billy. Some of them was looking for us to speak in tongues. Some of us were looking for us to jump pews. Some of them was looking for us to make a woman preacher and everything else. I don't know what they were looking for. What they needed was the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And boy, now, there's a price to be paid. There's a price to be paid. Turn to Acts 17, verse 1. Acts chapter 17, verse 1. I'm going to go ahead and start reading. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, look here, he's going to work as soon as he gets there. Went in unto them. 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Look at Paul. Paul went to synagogue and started preaching right away. 3 days he started teaching what the Scripture says about Jesus. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. There's the gospel. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company. And by the way, they'll do the same thing to you too. They'll get up a crowd against you. And set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. You see what they're accusing them of? Changing the world. See? Whom Jason had received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there's another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of that of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. who coming thither went into the synagogue of Jews. They sent from one town to Berea. And what did they do? They just turned one town upside down. And now they send them to Berea. And where they go? They go into another synagogue. Do it again. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of the honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they came hither also. Now they're coming down from another town down here to make trouble. And they stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode still. Now there's a price to be paid. In Acts 16, they were beaten and put in prison. Sang at midnight. God let them go. In Acts 17, they were forced to flee and run for their life on three different occasions. Now, they paid a price. Now I'm going to go ahead and tell you. Listen to me. If we're going to share the gospel, if you're going to share the gospel, it's a work. The devil will hinder you. People will hinder you. Circumstances will hinder you. But you've got the most powerful product on planet Earth. And once you give it out, let me tell you something, there ain't nothing like somebody getting saved because you took them what they needed, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now you get people in here, I'll preach to them. You know I will. I mean, I ain't scared. I done got too old to be scared. What they going to do, kill me? I'll go to heaven. And you get them here, I'll preach the gospel to them. But you know what? Wouldn't it work better if we'd take the product to them instead of dragging them in here? Huh? I mean, wouldn't it work better if you'd sit down and have a serious conversation with somebody? Really? I mean, God will put somebody on your heart. Just go see him. Sit down, have a serious conversation. And say, look, I've been wanting to talk to you about something. You know I love you. And I think a lot of you. And I want you to know I've been praying for you. And I want you to go to heaven. I got saved such time. And I've never asked you if you were saved or not. Are you saved? If they say no, say, can I tell you how to be saved? Admit you're a sinner and believe on Christ. Confess it with your mouth. Call on him. He'll save you. You ain't got to know all the scriptures in the Bible. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in thy house. You can take those two verses and win the world to Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You can take that one and win the whole world to Christ. You don't need 9 steps, 12 steps. You just need to share the gospel that you have. I look at the homes of the families of our church, and I see so many in those homes that's not saved. They don't even go to church. Children, grandchildren. And it's really become a burden on me here lately, and I've got a series of sermons. I'm going to be preaching on it soon. So hang on, because it's going to be a work, and I might turn somebody's world upside down. But I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. I have a message from the Lord I bring. Amen. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. That's all you got to say. That's all you got to say. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the word of God. It never changes.